Hello and welcome to episode 717 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this afternoon. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Saturday, November 18th, 2023, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Saturday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain her patronage. O my most holy mother, I see the graces which thou hast obtained for me, and I see the ingratitude of which I have been guilty towards thee. An ungrateful soul is no longer worthy of favors, but I will not on this account distrust thy mercy, which is greater than my ingratitude. O my great advocate, pity me. Thou dispensest all the graces which God grants to us miserable creatures, and for this purpose he has made thee so powerful, so rich, and so benign. He has done so that thou mightest succor us in our miseries. Ah, Mother of Mercy, leave me not in my poverty. Thou art the advocate of the most miserable and guilty criminals who have recourse to thee. Defend me also who recommend myself to thee. Say not that my cause is too difficult to be gained, for all causes, however desperate, when defended by thee, are gained. In thy hands, then, do I place my eternal salvation. To thee do I entrust my soul. It was lost. Thou, then, by thy intercession, hast to save it. I wish to be inscribed amongst thy most devoted servants. Reject me not. Thou seekest the miserable to relieve them. Abandon me not, who am a wretched sinner and who have recourse to thee. Speak for me. Thy Son does all that thou askest him. Take me under thy protection. That is all that I ask. Yes, for if thou protectest me, I fear nothing. I do not fear my sins, for thou wilt obtain me a remedy for the evil they have done me. I do not fear the devils, for thou art more powerful than all hell. I do not even fear Jesus, my judge himself, for by a single prayer of thine he is appeased. I only fear that by my negligence I may cease to recommend myself to thee and thus be lost. It is true that these graces are too great for me, who have not deserved them, but they are not too great for thee, who art so much loved by God. Hence he grants thee all that thou askest. Thou hast only to speak, and he denies thee nothing. Pray then to Jesus for me. Tell him that thou protectest me, and then he is sure to pity me. My mother, in thee do I trust. In this hope I shall live in peace, and in it I wish to die. Live, Jesus, our love, and Mary, our hope. Today, friends, I want to take a look that was published at Mr. Matthew Pleasy's website, an article entitled, Is the Traditional Latin Mass Right for All Parishes? This came out initially back in 2013. It's at acatholiclife.blogspot.com. And Mr. Pleasy begins by saying, we all too often hear the argument that the Novus Ordo Mass is needed in our world to make the Mass accessible to the common man. The Novus Ordo is seen as a bridge by some in the traditional community. Their argument is namely that a person should experience the Novus Ordo in totality before ever experiencing the traditional Mass. Have you heard of these arguments? Have you believed them? Do you still believe them? I say that the traditional Latin Mass is needed everywhere in all parishes at all times. Hear, hear, Mr. Pleasy. And I'll go a step further and say, although this was written 10 years ago, I'm sure Mr. Pleasy would echo these sentiments. The Novus Ordo needs to be abrogated. It needs to be eliminated. It needs to be wiped off the face of the earth. It was, at the very least, a colossal blunder. It quite possibly, if you've seen films like Mass of the Ages, Parts 1 and 2, it was an attempt to undermine the church from within in the late 1960s. It has certainly helped destroy the faith of millions and millions of Catholics. Mr. Pleasy continues with saying, that's bold. That implies that the Novus Ordo isn't needed as a bridge, and that a Jew or Muslim or pagan could outright convert to the Catholic faith by means of a Mass said in an unfamiliar language with, quote, strange rituals and ancient practices. How can this be? The liberals gasp. We first need to consider the effect of the Vatican II changes on the liturgy and on the life of the church. When we live in the midst of a problem, the problem does not usually seem as horrid as it is for someone who considers it over a larger content. By this same principle, it is said that a frog will immediately jump out of a pot that is boiling. But if you put the frog into a pot of cold water and slowly increase the temperature to boiling, then the frog will allow itself to boil alive. In much the same way, those of us born into the disorder of the past 50 years, and we can say, since this article was published a decade ago, the past 60 years, if not more, can no longer understand the full and egregious impact of many of the changes. In the winter 2011 edition of the Latin Mass magazine, Mr. Nicholas Postage, that's spelled P-O-S-T-A-G-E, in A Moribund Mass and the Catholic Counterculture, does an excellent job of illustrating the problems inherent in the mainstream church, errors that directly affect the assertion that the Novus Ordo is needed as a bridge. I quote from Mr. Postgate. The place, your typical American parish, not yet blessed by the application of Summorum Pontificum. The time, any Sunday of the year, chances are it's a Sunday of ordinary time, which befits a form of liturgy so ordinary. The music, smiling ditties of indescribable triteness. The congregation consists of children who have not been catechized, are bored to death, and would rather be texting or playing video games. Young adults who are fornicating or masturbating in their spare time, and this is the gospel they receive in their schools. And no one even thinks of impeding their vices or correcting their errors. Married couples who, with a few happy exceptions, contracept their marital vocation out of existence. Older folks who, under the lifelong influence of the capitalist secularism that animates contemporary America, attend church because it's a good habit, like brushing one's teeth or wearing clean clothes. Hardly anyone is morally prepared for prayer, and hardly anyone actually prays. The sign of this is, of course, the unstoppable chit-chat that pervades the church before the, quote, gathering hymn fills the electrified air and resumes right after the, quote, scattering hymn is over and the altar girls are on their way out. In between was the obligatory reception of a wafer in the hands for some strange reason that no one can quite explain, except that it's got something to do with belonging. The priest who heads, or shall we say presides, over the congregation is not better than his flock. In fact, he is worse. He does no mental prayer or lectio divina. Perhaps he does not pray or study in any serious way at all, which is obvious from the shallow and vaguely relevant homilies he gives. His life is busy but superficial. He runs a strong risk of being immoral in some egregious manner, whether through rampant gossip, entertainment-saturated indolence, self-indulgence at the table, or worse forms of intemperance. In short, the people are lost, confused, surrendered to the all-pervasive secularism, and so is their priest, except that he can hide it better. Nay, he has often gone one step further. Invoking Vatican II, he magically makes lack of faith, lack of doctrine, lack of morals sound like a pious accommodation to the contemporary world. So ends the quote, and then Mr. Pleasy says, does this sound like your parish? Perhaps it does in some respects, and it is for that reason that you feel the traditional mass might be too much for your fellow parishioners. Let's continue reading from Mr. Postgate's article. The Novus Ordo liturgy is practically empty of spiritual content. No wonder the church has not been able to stand against the onslaught of a militantly secularist anti-culture. Her highest and most precious resource in the spiritual combat was stripped away. The shift from the Missal of 1962 to the Missal of 1970 was like going from a cannon to a butter knife, from marching trumpets to party favors. Bringing the liturgy closer in its externals to modern life meant bringing it closer to the meaninglessness and profanity of modern life. Thinking they were doing people a favor, the woolly shepherds of the church ironically gave her sheep and goats an excuse to give up going to Mass altogether, because the new Mass, having become an echo of the vulgar world, was truly no longer relevant. It could offer nothing, give nothing to us that we did not already have, to satiety. The only thing that can possibly be relevant is that which is totally and intrinsically irrelevant to the grinding routine of modern life. The old liturgy carried on in baffling and mysterious isolation, as though it did not pay attention at all to the world's going to hell in a customized handbasket. And this was wise, profoundly wise. Many Catholics of the last 40 years who stopped attending Mass or never started going in the first place would have attended the old liturgy, if only because it breathes a spirit of peace and timelessness so utterly and refreshingly contrary to the spirit of modernity. That is the sort of thing that attracted many Catholic converts. For instance, Thomas Merton, when you look at their conversion stories. To abandon this, quote, irrelevance was, in fact, to make the Mass finally truly irrelevant, in the sense that it no longer answered a deep, wordless need to meet the divine, the sacred, the presence of God's kingdom in mystery. The Reformed liturgy in sterilized English with third-rate folk music managed to announce, in spite of itself, that the Catholic Church has nothing to offer that cannot very easily be found elsewhere in more potent form. Interested in the latest popular music? Look elsewhere. Interested in feeling the feeling of togetherness? Look elsewhere. This kind of self-indulgent collectivism flourishes more outside church doors than within them, which would make the official clerical attempt to imitate it laughable if it were not sacrilegious. Mr. Pleasy continues by saying, Catholic identity is still dying. We are not proud of our heritage. Do we forget that it was the Latin Mass that converted millions of the pagans of Germany in the time of St. Boniface, or the pagans of North America in the 1500s? It was the Latin Mass, with all of its ritual, beauty, and mystery that spread the reign of Christ and won untold numbers of converts and saints. It was that Mass that we need, a rite of Mass capable of saving our modern world from its abyss of moral decay. It is the traditional Mass that is the antidote to the problem. As Mr. Postgate concludes, some, quote, conservative bishops might think that confronted with such a dire situation, the last thing they should care about is restoring sacred music, chant, Latin, and such things to the church's worship. Don't we have more important, more urgent things to worry about? They mutter with a worried frown. But this is to miss the whole point. The main reason Catholic identity is now so weak is that 40 years ago, and again, this is published a decade ago, so really 50 years ago or more, we began experimenting and tinkering with God's sacred mysteries, and now nothing seems holy, nothing permanent, nothing worth reverencing, nothing worth genuflecting before, if each and every local church does not make the solemn, sacred, self-effacing worship of God its absolute pastoral priority. One by one they will go extinct, drowning in an ocean of mediocrity, relativism, irrelevance. In a word, a total lack of Catholic identity, which comes to us from above through the sacred liturgy. The church will survive and thrive only where her shepherds have the wisdom to seek first the kingdom of God, letting all other things be given afterwards. As well put by Mr. Mark Riddle in his just published article, Does the Latin Mass Work Everywhere? Quote, what does that tell us then about the argument for using an enculturated new liturgy to achieve the conversion of modern men who are not in any way a meaningful part of the classical Western tradition? Ultimately, it tells us that the argument is false. But beyond that, it tells us that if we truly wish to convert the world, and we do, and to truly civilize and Christianize modern pagans, whether those who have never received the gospel or those who comprise a post-Christian pagan West, there is only one solution: to do the same things as were done by our forefathers when they set out to convert the world, a liturgy which is conformed to man, which seeks to adapt itself to the spirit of the age, will simply not work. To answer my acquaintance, novelty will never convert the world. Only when men once again are presented with the integrity of the Catholic faith, expressed fully in the church's immemorial liturgy, will we be able to civilize modern paganism. Only when modern man once again says, Introibo ad altari Dei, ad Deum qui latificat juventutem meam, will we be on the road to restoring all things in Christ. There simply is no other way. From a decade ago, an excellent article by Mr. Matthew Pleasey, quoting some excellent sources. Once again, his website is acatholiclife.blogspot.com. Please check it out. He has a lot of great resources and great articles there. We need to get back to tradition, folks. It's not just the traditional Latin Mass, but it's also daily recitation of the Rosary, old school catechisms like the Catechism of the Council of Trent, the Catechism of Pope St. Pius X, the Baltimore Catechism. And as I've been mentioning several times now, Archbishop Lefebvre saying, don't be bitter. Have joy in your heart because Jesus is our joy. And no one can take your joy away from you. And as much as Pope Francis or other bishops continue to attack the traditional Latin Mass, continue to attack Catholics for having large families, for goodness sake, I mean, it's simply outrageous. And whatever their degree of culpability is that's known only to the Lord, they will never destroy the faith. They will never destroy tradition. God proves his goodness, shows forth his omnipotence by allowing the evil that men do in order to draw a greater good from it. And you are seeing Catholics, especially younger Catholics, although they may not seem in great numbers, they are very strong in their faith. They are returning to tradition. They are not going to the Novus Ordo. They are attending traditional Latin Mass or Divine Liturgy. Young fathers leading their wives, leading their children in the rosary every day. They are the future of the church. The 20-somethings and the 30-somethings who are still practicing the faith are strong in their faith, and it's the traditional Catholic faith. God will not be mocked, my friends. He will not be outwitted. He will not be outfoxed. He has a plan for the world, for the church, and for your life. So do good, avoid evil, and hold fast to tradition. Let us conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. And please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Those episodes have to do with RPM, which is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my wonderful niece, who's also my goddaughter, I have two beautiful special nieces who are also my goddaughters. Before Brielle was 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she is wonderfully intelligent, remarkably intelligent and creative and sweet, as is her sister. Brielle is a composer. She's a poet. She's very gifted in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. It's because of God's grace working through RPM, her hard work, her parents' hard work, and her sister, that we know these things. RPM is as big of a breakthrough as sign language was for the deaf or Braille was for the blind. But too many people still don't know about it. This has been a game changer, a lifesaver, whatever other phrase you want to throw in there, for non-speakers and their families. So please get that information out there because communication is a human right. Imagine how depressed and frustrated you would be if you were unable to communicate with your friends and family. What a horrible situation. And what a great gift RPM has been to so many families. So once again, please spread the word, halo-soma.org and episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in again tomorrow. I'll be here. You be here too. Goodbye and God love you.